Thanks for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship of Las Vegas. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbfvegas.org. Now here is Pastor Jim Cruz.
I absolutely love that video. Did you guys like that? What's happening 5 p.m. service? You guys awake? Are you excited that the Raiders beat the Broncos? Sorry, Pastor Doug. Hey, my name is Pastor Jim. I'm the lead pastor here. And with me today is my good friend and co-pastor, fellow pastor, Jerry Johnson. Give it up for Jerry. So, I thought that was a great video to really tie in the weekend of Thanksgiving. And I know we probably all overate, but like Pastor Doug was saying, Thanksgiving shouldn't be a day. It should be a lifestyle. And we should just be more thankful for the gifts around us, including the person that's sitting next to you. Would you just touch your neighbor, say, I'm so grateful that you're in my life, all right? I am so grateful you're in my life. First service, he shocked me when he did that because I've never done a touch your neighbor where somebody's up here with me and somebody touched me. I'm like, what are you touching me for? But I have Jerry up here for a specific reason. He is our operations director. He leads our campus ministry. And one of the things that Jerry's in charge of is how everything works around here. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but we've been at this location for 7 years this year. So that is like a crazy milestone. How many of you ever shopped here when it was a shoe store called Just for Feet? Did anybody shop here? All right. Yeah. We're still in the sole business, but it's a little different. We've wore this building out. And we were describing to you part of appreciating the things that God has brought into your life is showing that appreciation. And we talked about how we should appreciate those people that God has put into our life. And one of the things that we need to appreciate maybe even is the church. And now the church has been a blessing for your life. And as Jerry and I have been talking and planning throughout this last year, there are so many things that are needing attention around our facility that we had this idea of like casting a vision of like how we can improve our campus coming in to the new year. And we're going to call it Advance and Impact Vision 2018, just because it sounds really cool. And it's needed. There are things that need attention on our campus that aren't wants, but they're needs. And we just don't have the money in our regular operating budget to be able to give these things attention. So we thought it would be a good idea to do an end of the year campaign in the area of generosity to really see maybe God lay on somebody's heart or many families' hearts to give towards this campaign. I was reading this week in our devotion in Exodus chapter 35. It talked about how Moses was getting the people excited to build this place of worship. And he said, I want you to take this extra offering. They called it a freewill offering. And he said, take it and give it to the tabernacle so we have a place to worship God. And so they took the extra. This was on top of the other sacrifices and offerings they were bringing for the Lord. And they gave it so that they could create this tabernacle for the kingdom of God. And I love it because the people responded so much that in chapter 36, Moses had to tell the people, you've given too much, stop giving. And I've never heard a pastor ever have to say that to a church, but I want us to be the very first church ever after Moses to say, hey, we've received all that we need, stop giving, you've given too much. Don't you want to be a part of a generous church like that? I want to be a part of it. So Jerry, explain to us kind of this campaign and what it's all about.
So I did have a slide prepared, but there's a lot of... First of all, let me thank everybody that's helped me personally with all of our volunteers. Some of you, the handy men and women in the church that come out and do things behind the scenes. I want to appreciate you guys, because without you guys, we couldn't get this done. So give yourself a round of applause. Thank you so much. But a vision basically kind of looks like this, if you can put that slide up. There's a lot of things that go on. As I've come through the campus and the facilities on a regular basis, these are just some of the things that need to be done around the campus. We've got anywhere from our parking lot. You guys have pulled in tonight, probably couldn't see the stripes, the lines to put your car in the parking space. So parking space, we've got an AC unit. We've got warehouse renovation. There, the carpet itself needs to be renovated. So Pastor Jim said it right. We've been here 7 years, and it's like putting 500,000 miles on your car at some point.
When we got the building, I told the contractor, give us the cheapest carpet. He said, well, I will, but it won't last past 3 years.
7 years later.
The Lord gave us 4 extra years.
Yes.
But it definitely shows it. Everyone's looking down now going, oh, wow.
Don't look at the carpet.
Never looked at it before.
But these are just some of the assignments and projects that we have that the Lord put on my heart, honestly, is that when Jim and I were talking about this, it said, just ask. Just go to your church family and ask. And that's what I wanted to do here today, is just say, Jim, we got to get up and just ask. We may not get it all. We may get half. Somebody might bless us with the whole thing. But if we don't ask, we won't know. So I'm just coming. My vision for 2018 is that all these projects are complete. We share that with Christ and everything that he's doing with our church. And then we continue to proceed. That's my vision.
So when Jerry and I began talking about this vision, I presented it to all of our staff at our retreat over the summer. And I just said, I mean, what is it that you would like to see in your area that we just don't have room for in the budget? Let's dream big and let's ask and see what God does. And so the next slide is Lauren, our worship director. He said, well, honestly, our lighting board is on the fritz. And since we did this in the summer in August, it completely died on us. We had to go in our savings account to get a new light board. And some of these numbers you're looking at going, wow, is it really that expensive? Yes, it is. The most expensive part of the service is our audio, video, and lighting. And they are asking for a new laptop to run a lot of the worship service up here. And this is kind of something I'm clueless about. The in-ear monitors, they haven't replaced them since we moved in here 7 years ago. And they're these little earbuds that they put in there. So they've been using these same in-ear monitors for 7 years. That's a lot of ears that they've been into. I don't know about you, but I mean, if I'm not sharing my earbuds with anybody, because, you know, some people have more earwax than other people. I'm just saying, you know, but anyway, they are in desperate need to be replaced, and those things are a lot of money. So he's even broken it down in like a first and second ask about that. Pastor Sean chimed in. Just so you guys know, because the youth don't meet in here a lot of times, that every week Pastor Sean is back there in the rec, as we call it, with over 200 teenagers, leading them and helping them find Christ. Just a few weeks ago, they did an outreach here at Cashman Park, just right up the road. They had 25 young people receive Christ into their lives. And Pastor Sean was able to greet them. But he's building up his youth team. And one of the things, and I appreciate this as a youth pastor, is training, is knowing how to connect to the young people. And so they do these conferences nationally every year. And we just have never had any money to train not just our youth pastors, but all of the youth leaders. And Pastor Sean had this big vision to say, man, I would like to once a year take not just me and my wife, but to our whole volunteer team and take them somewhere and get them trained, because we will serve the teenagers of Valley Vegas better by these conferences and getting more training. So I agreed with him on that. So, you know, one of you maybe when you were young, you got touched by your youth group, and it's nothing for you to write a $6,000 check and say, I want to see that vision come to fruition. Let's go to the next one. We have a storage container. We're trying to organize our storage warehouse area. We are actually expanding the church. We're moving into all these areas, and more of our storage is disappearing. So a friend of ours has a storage container, and they're a lot more expensive than that. That's what I call a bro deal. That's a brother is saying, hey, I'll hook you guys up. So that's $3,000. And then Pastor Ernest, our pastor in Zambia, Africa, he is an evangelist. He's been going out to these remote areas of Zambia, and he said, Pastor Jim, he called me Pastor Jim, he wants to give this village a water well. We've already installed 4 in Africa. This would be our 5th, but this is a little bit more expensive because it's in a very remote part of Zambia. And so we're just asking $10,000, and we could install our 5th clean water well for Zambia. They don't have clean water. I mean, we take that for granted so much, and it's a very hard to come by thing back there. So that's another $13,000. So you've got $26,000 just between that and our tech, and another $6,000 for the youth, and another $67,000 for our facilities. That's over $100,000, and that sounds like a lot, and it is, because that's why it sounds like it. But if we all give something, then I believe with all of my heart that we're going to meet that goal. We're going to accomplish that vision. We're going to see these things happen in 2018. And I really believe, like you were telling us, that if we don't ask, we'll never know. If Moses never asked the people to give for the tabernacle, there would have never been a tabernacle. If we don't ask you to give, this building may not be able to be a resource for us like it has been the first 7 years, the next 5 years. So that's why we're asking. And we kind of have a little game that we're going to be playing. So we're going to do this campaign between now and December 31st. New Year's Eve is on a Sunday this year. Isn't that crazy? So we're doing this campaign all the way through December 31st as an end of the year campaign. But Jerry, explain to us how this is going to work.
So, and also want to celebrate Jim,
we forgot that.
The VIPs. Did you guys know in 2017, just this year, from January to now, we've had 849 new people visit our church?
That is incredible.
Amazing. And then even more importantly, that our new believers, someone accepting Christ for the first time, 810 since.
Wow. Wow.
January 1st to now, 810.
Wow.
So we have people coming in. We need this place to be sharp and looking good. So I just want to celebrate that with you guys. But this is kind of how it works. If you can put up the slide, we have these golf balls up here. The white ones are $50. If you donate that, we'll put your name on it. We're going to throw it in this bucket. If you want to donate anonymously, that's okay. Just we'll put anonymous on here and we'll put it in the bucket. The kiosk has a 2018 vision giving. You'll have an opportunity to donate there. And then we have the yellow at $100, $500, and I call the money ball. The green one is $1,000. So as you give, we're gonna give you guys a tally and let you guys know how we're doing throughout the year. But I want to celebrate something, Jim, that you guys probably didn't know about. Jim has to act surprised because I shared this in the first two services. But I want you guys to count down. This is what we had donated so far. You guys ready? So you got to say the number. How much is this?
1,000.
So 1.
2,000. 3,000. 4,000. I feel like I'm on The Price is Right. 5,000. 6,000.
And then we had an offering of...
100?
Hold on. Let me get the bigger one. This
one.
$500. So we have
$6,500 wow,
already,
man.
Just in this short time.
So if you want to give, and Tara and I, we prayed about it. God's already put an amount on our heart. We're going to give just like we're asking you to give. The Cruz family is going to contribute. Just be in prayer about that. And what I've been saying over the last couple of weeks, if you're giving nothing, I want you to really think about going from nothing to giving something. There is a cost to to having this place and doing all the ministry that we're doing here. And if you're giving something, I want to encourage you to go from giving something to trusting God and start tithing, which is taking 10% of your income and letting God be the master over your money. And then if you're tithing, then I'm going to challenge you to even take the next step and become a generous giver. That means you're giving above and beyond your tithe. And when we're doing this campaign, what we don't want you to do is take the money that you would normally give in your offering that helps us with our operating costs. And praise God, we've never missed a bill. We've never missed a payment on anything. Our staff has been paid. We've never missed payroll or anything. So God is taking care of us on that. But what this is a free will offering. This is above and beyond what you would normally give. So if you normally give, like, say, for instance, $20, this would be on top of what you would normally give to the church. So we're going to have it on the kiosks as a vision campaign. Next week, there's going to be envelopes for our vision campaign that you can pick up at the Welcome Center or the back of your chairs. So we can separate this, and each week during announcements, we'll kind of count it off and have some fun with it and see that we can have a prosperous and amazing next 5 years as we've had the first 7 years. So as we get ready for service, Jerry, would you pray over just God to give us wisdom on how much we're supposed to give, and then also to pray over our word that we're going to give here in Hosea?
Absolutely. So, Father God, right now, we just come to you, Father, and just thank you for everything that you're doing in our amazing church. Lord, I just pray right now that you just open up our hearts, Lord, to see not only what you're doing in our church, but what we can do. And bless those that are thinking about it. If they're on the fence, Lord, just pour into them and show them what they're getting out of this, that it magnifies in their life, Lord. But we want to glorify you through all of this, the giving and the generous hearts and the thankfulness that people are showing in our church. So, Father, I just pray right now that you put on our heart an amount to each and every one of us. If it's a dollar, if it's $500, you put that amount on our heart, and then let us openly give and bless those who choose to do that. And, Lord, I just pray over this word tonight as Pastor Jim gets into our message, that you just anoint him, Father, that it speak to each one of us in this service today. And we pray this in the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, bro, so much, man. Yeah. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Hosea chapter 3. And for those of you that may be new, maybe you're visiting, anyone visiting from out of town for the holiday, anybody? All right, good thing you're here and not on the road, right? Because that's crazy traffic leaving here. But we are so excited to finish up this series. We've been talking about the book of Hosea, and the book of Hosea is this really neat little book. It talks about this man of God that was told by God that he was going to marry a promiscuous woman. So God had given him foreknowledge that he was going to marry her. They were going to have kids. They were going to have this family. And then she was going to skip out on him and start pursuing a different kind of lifestyle. And at some given point, he was going to have to go and rescue her and bring her back. And then they would be together once again. And God told Hosea, you're going to do this as a picture of how I feel towards Israel, the nation. And that even though I continue to love them and I continue to pursue them, they continue to wander off and they continue to put themselves over in things that are not good for their lives. And I'm going to show them through you, Hosea, that no matter what they do, no matter what kind of mess they've made, I'm going to continue to run after them and I'm going to continue to pursue them. That's the message of Hosea. So we're going to be in chapter 3 tonight. And let me just read verse 1 as we conclude Hosea. It says, "Then the Lord told me, love your wife again, even though she is loved by others and has committed adultery. Love her as I, the Lord, love the Israelites, even though they have turned to other gods and love to eat pumpkin pie." I have to change that because that just sounds like it's like Whole Foods, like raisin cakes. This sounds too healthy. Have some organic raisin cakes. Like pumpkin pie. Now that's tempting. I'm not going to be tempted by raisin cakes. Get raisin cakes out of my face. Give me some pumpkin pie. You know, This is a true story. My wife sent me this week on the mission to get a couple pumpkin, or get not pumpkin pies specifically, but to go to Marie Callender's on the day before Thanksgiving to pick up two pies. Now, we didn't order them ahead of time. I guess you can order your pies ahead of time. We didn't do that. So there was a walk-in line on this side and the pre-order line on this side. So I went a walk-in line, long line. And I'm thinking to myself, like, we didn't order ahead of time. We're getting nothing. I mean, they're not even going to have pumpkin pie. So we're in line, and I'm, you know, talking to people. And I finally get up there, and I'm like, okay, so what do you have left? And she turned around, and she showed me this board. And there were like 20 different pies on the board. She goes, we have all of those still. I said, what? She goes, yeah, we have all of them. I go, I'm supposed to get two. I learned a lesson. Never go and pick up pies when you're hungry, because then I'm like, I don't want just two. Tell me which ones. And she goes, well, we have this apple pie, it's really good. I go, okay, I'll have that one. And she goes, well, we have this like berry pie. I go, yeah, that sounds really good too. And pumpkin, oh yeah, pumpkin pie. And then we have this chocolate cream pie. And I go, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. She goes, but then there's another chocolate cream pie. It's got like an Oreo crust. We call it chocolate satin pie. And I go, yes, 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 and yes. I walked out of there with three bags of pies. And I got home, and my wife goes, what are those? And I go, they're pies. She goes, I told you to get two. I go, I know. But they all look good. I even had them throw in a key lime pie. I have way too many pies. But I tell you, that chocolate satin pie, I renamed chocolate Satan pie. Because I ate one piece, and then another, and then another, and then I'm not going to confess how many pieces I ate, but I may have eaten the whole thing. I'm not sure if I did or not, but that's another sermon. But I look at this idea, because what we've been talking about is that it's human nature to take what's familiar and to let those things depreciate in value for our lives. And when we allow those things that we love and value depreciate, other things start looking more attractive and more valuable. This is why I circled last week. I said, we love our families more than anyone in this world, but yet we will treat a perfect stranger nicer than we do our own family members. Why? Because what's familiar tends to get depreciated in value. And so we learned that in order to stay away from that, we need to appreciate the things that value to our lives. So what happens with Hosea and Gomer is this family that she has depreciates, and she starts chasing other things, other men, other lifestyles. And God says, that's just like the human spirit. Because this isn't a story about God and Israel. This is about a story about God and humanity. And we have this propensity that once we get in a place where something looks more valuable, we will drop whatever it is that we're involved in, and we will start chasing after other things that look more desirable. Question, what is your raisin cake? What is it that has got you and lured you away from the place that God wants you to be at? Because just because something looks good to you doesn't mean it is good for you. So there are a lot of times the raisin cakes come up in our life, the chocolate Satan pies that come in our life, and they look good, but they have all these promises on the front end. But what they have on the back end is they have a lot of times attachments. And for Hosea and Gomer, Gomer's lifestyle caught up to her, and she was trapped in the sex slave industry. She was stripped away of all the things that she had that was once good and wholesome for her life. And she's there. She's in slavery. She's away from this man of God and her children. And now Hosea is being told by God, go find her, Hosea. Go find your wife again. Love her again. Now, see, some of you, you immediately have this thought in your mind like, man, if somebody did that to me, I would drop them like a bad habit. I'd be like, hey, it, you know, fool me once, you know, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. It's like, That's how we treat it. And a lot of times we project how we would treat another human being on how God treats us. And that's a fatal mistake. There's so many people around this world that think that God is out to get them, that they've messed up one too many times, that they won't step foot in the church because they think that God will strike them dead when they come through the threshold. They're like, no thanks, I'm not going to church. But that's not the heart of God at all. And the story of Hosea is to counteract this human tendency to project how we would treat another human being about how God would treat us. Because God, this story isn't about how we're prone to wandering. This story isn't about how we give ourselves over the raisin cakes. This is a story about no matter how many times we chase after the raisin cakes and get chained up and stripped away, God is on a mission to pursue us, and he refuses to give up on us no matter how messy, no matter how smelly we are. That's the message of the gospel. Matter of fact, Jesus comes along and he says, I want to put an exclamation point on the story of Hosea. And he tells his own story about this man who had a father that had a lot of money. And this man decided, this young man, he said, I want my inheritance now. The tradition is once a father dies, you get the inheritance. But this young man said, I want my inheritance now. And he made this self-centered decision to go to his dad and ask for it, and the dad gave it to him. Have you ever made a self-centered decision that you later regretted? This is where this son was at. This is where this man was at, and he ends up taking this wealth that his father gave him, and he squandered it, the Bible says. He just lost it all. Put it all on black, and it was red. It was gone. And then he ends up with no job and he has no money. So one job opening was there and he took it. And for a Jewish person, this was like the insult of insults. He worked on a pig farm. And he was there and he's taking care of the pigs. And if you've ever taken care of pigs, they are the smelliest creature, I'm convinced, on the face of this earth. I was around this pig farm for just 10 minutes and I couldn't get the odor out of my nostrils all day long. I had that smell in there. And he's there, Jesus is telling the story about this man that is there at the pig farm, and he starts dreaming about what it would be like to go and live with his father again, thinking about the amazing ways that his father lives and the place that he lives. He goes, you know, even if I was a servant, even if I became a slave, being a slave in my father's house is going to allow me to be in a better position than I'm at now. So he finally gets the courage and he's going back to his father's house to confess and expect probably a lashing. I mean, that lecture, you know, this is the teaching moment. The dad's like, I told you, and you know what? I can't believe you did this, son. You go over here. He was expecting to be chewed out, but he goes anyway. He's like, I'll take it on the chin and at least I'll have a better lifestyle. But this is what happens in verse 20 of Luke 15. It says this. It says, so he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off. I love that. He wasn't even close to the house. See, some of you, you feel like that in your relationship with God, in your pursuit of God. You're like, you know, I feel like I'm a long way off. Join the club here. And his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. Doesn't say filled with wrath and anger, does it? Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. The picture of God is not a God that wants to push you away and beat you up. The picture of God is when you start making one step toward heaven, God is running towards you to say, welcome home. It's about time. I've been pursuing you. I've been chasing you. And now you're home. Let's have a party. That's the heart of God. And that is the story of Hosea. Isaiah 55 says this, let the wicked leave their way of life and change their way of thinking. Let them turn to the Lord our God. He is merciful and what? Quick to forgive. Stop projecting how you would treat other human beings on how God treats you. And start projecting on other human beings the way God treats you. You're going to be so much more quick to forgive other people when they offend you, because of your knowledge of how much God has forgiven you and all the ways that you've offended him. Does that make sense? Are you still with me? 5 o'clock service. I don't know. You're quiet on me. I don't know if you're in mourning because the Broncos lost. But I'm telling you, the 11:30 service was a lot more into this than you guys. You're disappointing me tonight, all right? So, but let's go to verse 2. So, this is Hosea. So I bought her for 23 ounces of silver and 10 bushels of barley. What was that like? What was that like? That's his wife. I mean, you guys understand the concept, don't you? That when you get married, it's not like, yeah, you know, I own them. That's not how it is. We know that the Bible says when two people come together, they become one flesh. Paul says that your body is not your own. So the husband belongs to the wife and the wife belongs to the husband. You possess one another. Hosea possessed Gomer. That was his wife. Can you imagine that moment? He finds her. He finally finds her. And imagine the places that he had to go to look for her. But he never gave up. And he finally finds her. And she's for sale. And I can imagine in that moment, he's like, but that's my wife. And whoever it is that's selling her says, I don't care who you think she is. That'll be $23.59. Visa, MasterCard, American Express. I don't know how they did. But in that moment, Hosea is realizing, even though she belongs to me, there's a price that needs to be paid to set her free. So I'll pay the money. And he pays the money, and she becomes free again. The chains fall off. The clothes come back on. And he's able to be with his bride again. Gang, I don't know what kind of misconceptions you've painted in your mind about God, but he is in love with you. And he is in relentless pursuit of you. You might be messy. You might smell like pig farm. I don't know. But I don't care how messy you are or how smelly you become. You cannot keep the love of God from pursuing you because you're his. See, here's the unique role with Hosea and Gomer. It's a picture of us. Later on, it says in the end, it says in the end there that there will come a time at the end of the age that there will be a King David that will rise up. And in that moment, there will be a fresh new anointing, and there will be a fear of his goodness. Not a fear of his wrath, but a fear of his goodness. Folks, we're in the last days, and our Hosea has come. His name is Jesus, and he's bought us back. We've been chained up. We've been stripped away. And we've been held back from the relationship that God has always wanted with us. But the cross has given us the price, and the price has been paid. And all we have to do is say yes to something that has already been done. That's where we're at. And I don't mean to offend you, but we're Gomer. We've chased the rice cakes, and some of those rice cakes, they bit us hard and they chained us up and they stripped us away. And they've left us broken. They've left us in this place of feeling suffocated, like there's no way out. And Jesus shows up and says, with me, there's always a way out. And I've come to set you free so that you can be in relationship with me. And because that's what God desires more than anything. You know, God has a love language, church. His love language is quality time. It's right in Hosea. Check this out. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea 6. I want your constant love, not your animal sacrifices. I would rather have my people know me than burn offerings to me. Jesus paid the price to set you free so that you can have relationship with God again. He doesn't want religiosity. He doesn't want you just to be going through the motions to be this religious person. He wants you, his bride. And he wants you to come close to him. He says, hey, reading the Bible and studying the Bible is great. But don't base everything on studying the Bible and knowing your Greek and Hebrew if that means that you don't spend time with me. I'll tell you, I've met some very, very, very smart people that know the Bible, that know scriptures, that have things memorized, that can tell me words in the Greek and words in the Hebrew. But these same people are the most mean people I've ever met in my life. And they have the name Christian over their lives. But I also know people that help the poor and take care of those that are in need, that don't even know God. They're just doing it because they just want to be a good human being. So you can read the Bible, you can study scripture, you can do good deeds, but that doesn't mean you're right with God. To be right with God means that you are in a right relationship with God. Martha and Mary were two sisters that hung out with Jesus a lot. And one time they were hosting Jesus over their house. And of course you can imagine Jesus is in your living room, like everybody's in the living room, like listening to Jesus do a teaching. And Martha slipped out of the kitchen and she's there at the feet of Jesus. And Mary's there. And Martha's like doing the dishes and she's like, hey man, I'm doing all this work myself. And she comes in and sees her sister at the feet of Jesus. And she says, Jesus, you're gonna let her sit there? I'm hosting this party, I'm stressed out. I need some help in the kitchen. And she's expecting Jesus to take her side and tell Mary, hey, get up and go help your sister. He looks at Martha and says, Martha, Martha, Martha. You need to take note of what your sis is doing here, because what she's doing is way more important than doing dishes. Way more important. God's love language is you and him being together, not acts of service, even though those things are good. It's not gift giving. Those things are awesome. And I'm not taking anything away. But if you want to appreciate the fact that God went and he bought you back, even though you were already his possession, he bought you back even when you didn't deserve it. When you were messy and smelly, he bought you back. If you want to appreciate God, the way you appreciate God is you conform to his love language. And he wants you to be with him. And I told you last week, that's how come we worship. It's because worship is our way that we get into the presence of God and just hang out with him. If you haven't signed up already, get in the 40 days of prayer campaign. Sign up for an hour slot. Get into that prayer room. I'm telling you, miracles are going to take place in your life. Breakthroughs are going to happen. But more than any of that, you're going to feel the love of God in your life like you've never felt it before, because that's what happens when you hang out in the presence of God. And that's all he wants from us. He just wants to be with us. Some of you, it's time to stop running away from God, and it's time to start going towards God. And he's going to run down the driveway and he's going to meet you. Would you bow your heads? Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you, God, for this strong word in Hosea and this whole series. And there's so many things in our life that we just take for granted, God. We don't want the cross to ever be one of those things. That you gave your son, your one and only son, to purchase us back, the creation that already belonged to you in the first place. But that was the only way for us to really, truly be set free. God, my prayer is that everyone here would accept the greatest gift that the world has ever known, the gift of your son that paid for us to be set free. And some of you that are in shackles tonight, some of you that have been stripped of all the things that you knew to be good for your life, that's been taken from you because you've spent your life chasing the raisin cakes in your life. You know, God is here tonight to not just give you a new chapter of your life. God is here tonight so that you can be born again, so that you can have life completely brand new. Not a new chapter. We're talking a new book, church. And he's here tonight and he's saying, are you ready for me? I'm ready to take you home tonight. I'm ready to have a relationship with you. And if you've never made that decision, would you just raise your hand right where you're sitting and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I know that's where I'm at. I want to be set free tonight. I want Jesus in my life. just raise your hand. Some of you have been running. Maybe you made that decision, but somehow you got lured away and the raisin cakes got you. And here you are. You know Jesus, just like Gomer know Hosea, but you ran from him. And today, God is calling you back home. Maybe you're like the prodigal son. You've been away from the place that God wants you at. You've been in this terrible life situation, and you know you got yourself there. Nobody else got you there. Your poor, self-centered decisions got you there. And now God's saying, are you ready to come live again with me? He's not going to give you wrath and anger. He's going to give you love and compassion to come home. If you've been running from God, and you know this is your call to run to God tonight, would you just raise your hand and say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. I want us to pray this prayer together, church. For those that raise their hand, or for those that are even thinking in their hearts about your relationship with God, I want this to be a declaration. Would you just pray this prayer after me? Say, Jesus, tonight I thank you for paying for my release, for setting me free from myself and all the ways that I wander away and the raisin cakes that I chase after that do nothing but chain me up and strip me down. Tonight I declare that I want to follow you and I want to come home to you. Forgive me of my sin and fill me with your Spirit so that I can walk in your power and live the life that you've called me to live in relationship with you. I want to appreciate you, God. I never want to take the cross for granted. And tonight I'm here to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you just stand to your feet? We're going to end with a worship song tonight, church. And I brought a magnifying glass because this is why we worship. We don't worship because we're here to tell God, oh God, you're so lovely. And God's in heaven going, man, I was kind of feeling down. I needed somebody to kind of affirm me. God doesn't need our words of affirmation. Our souls need to be reminded of the greatness and the glory of God. Because our souls get a little apathetic and they fall asleep to this. And see, we all have a magnifying glass. But we live our lives like this most of the time. We're magnifying what's down here. These are our problems. These are the things that are challenges. These are the issues. And we keep magnifying and we got anxiety. And we think like, there's no way I'm going to be able to handle this. And we keep looking at these things and they keep getting bigger and bigger. And God said, what are you doing? Worship isn't just about me and you coming together in the presence. Worship is about reminding your soul of who I am in your life. Psalm 34:1 says, oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. He doesn't need to be created larger than he already is, but all he's saying is take your magnifying glass and stop looking down and start looking up and saying, God, you are greater than my issues. You are bigger than my problems. And I will stop letting these things suffocate me. And I'm going to give them over to you and let you control those. So, church, tonight, let's appreciate the cross. Let's appreciate Jesus. Let's appreciate that God is greater than your problems. And he is stronger than your issues. And let's worship him in spirit and in truth. Raise your voices. Let's worship. This is what it means to be in relationship with God. Church, spend time with them. Worship him. Worship isn't just about singing. It's about being in the presence of God through maybe other believers, gathering in a life group. It might mean just sitting in your car before you go in to your family and just saying, God, I just want to hang out with you. It may just be in complete silence as you drive home from work tomorrow. But just be in the presence of God. The presence of God is anywhere you want it to be. God says, I will not leave you or forsake you. I'm right there with you. So God bless you guys. Next week, Pastor Ron will be with you guys, and we'll start our Christmas series. We're really excited about it. It's called The Peace Project. It's going to start December 10th. And hey, we have a mantra before you leave. We want to say it together. You guys say the live the love part, but I say keep the faith, spread the hope. You guys say live the love. So I say keep the faith, spread the hope, and you say live the love. God bless you guys. If you need prayer, we got prayer up here, but you are dismissed. If you want to be baptized, the baptism is going to be open. Pastor Russell is going to be here baptizing some folks. Feel free. If you didn't bring your change of clothes, it's okay. We got some for you.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message has ministered to your heart. If you live in the Las Vegas area, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship of Las Vegas for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We are located at 4500 West Sahara Ave, just east of Decatur Boulevard. We'd love to hear from you and pray for you in anything you may be going through right now. Reach us by phone at 702-254-2251 or visit our website at vbfvegas.org.